Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest our distinguished president of Texas Tech University, Dr. Lawrence Skouvenek. Since the last time you were on our show here, a year has elapsed almost since you assumed the responsibility of president. Looking back over the past year, how has it been for you?
I think when I took this position, I said it was a tremendous blessing, an opportunity, and I still feel that way. There are so many ways that you see the wonderful things happening at Texas Tech and also in this community. You have to keep your eyes on the big picture. Take advantage of all the inspirational people around you, and I sincerely mean that. Try not to get caught up in some of the more mundane, petty things that can be a vexation to your spirit.
They certainly abound in the academic world as they do elsewhere.
Anywhere.
As you look at the inner life of Texas Tech, what are some of the strengths you find?
The inner life, of course, is represented by the people, the students, the staff, the faculty. That is what makes a university a wonderful place, and yet at the same time a challenging place because people are different. We have wonderful students. When you get to know them on a personal basis, you see how ambitious they are, how intelligent they are. They're very socially minded. They're aware of the important issues in the world. They're not shy about engaging in those issues. And the same is for the faculty and the staff. As I came over here, I was communicating with a dean about a conversation we had just had. And I had shared with that dean an email I received from a faculty member when I asked at a reception, what are some of the most important messages we need to convey at the State of the University address? And this one faculty member said that he came from a poor background, but Texas Tech had transformed his life and elevated the trajectory of his life. And that, I think, is what it's all about.
When you elevate the trajectory of a single life, then you elevate the trajectory of a family, then of a community. I think that must be one of the gorgeous challenges and realities of a university, is that the trajectory can take many forms: teaching, research, service.
Absolutely. We've just revised our strategic plan, and the first priority is educate and empower a diverse student body. And I had received some communication from somebody who thought that we should change the order of those priorities and put the one that dealt with research and creative activity first. But I won't do that, because it is about the students.
But they're not mutually exclusive, though. There can be no education without research, and there can be no research if it's not educating. They're not an end in themselves. They're a means to an end. I think within a true diverse community, they speak elegantly and eloquently to each other.
You're absolutely right. Those things are so intertwined, the order doesn't really matter.
I'm absolutely delighted what you've been able to do in increasing the Latino enrollment at Tech.
That's been a priority of Texas Tech for several years. The Board of Regents even addressed that. We made a decision a year ago when we were deciding how to invest our scholarship dollars that we would put additional money equally into merit and need. When I talk about merit and need, it really has nothing to do with gender or race. But it is a fact that we live in a state where about 70% or more of our high school students are first generation. And there is evidence that those students may not perform as well on standardized tests like ACT and SAT. So that was part of our strategy, to be a little bit more holistic in our application process. And so what happened? This year, our freshman class was over 38% Hispanic. That meant the university achieved a level of nearly 28%, exceeds the benchmark to be a Hispanic-serving institution. At the same time, we also had a record number of national merit finalists and a record number of presidential scholars. About a week or two ago, I went to speak to the Hispanic Student Association. I asked them, how many of you are first generation? And I think conservatively, 80% raised their hand. Yet what's interesting, though, when you look at the SAT of this year's incoming class, our African-American students and our Hispanic students, their scores were up about 70 points. For the overall population, it was about 50. So I'm not trying to pigeonhole these students as being less qualified. A few days later, though, I went to visit with our National Merit Scholars on campus. We had 16 this year, 15 last year. 3 or 4 years ago, we were never getting more than 4 or 5. So there was a large contingent there. And I asked them, how many of you are first generation? 3 people raised their hand. How many of you took the PSAT, a test you take when you're sophomores? Almost everyone. It's a different mindset that they come from. They're in families that understand kind of this process, whereas this is not something that's common to the experience of first-generation students. You know, Tom, this is not just an issue in Texas and Texas Tech, but nationally today, there are more scholarship dollars going for merit than for need. This contributes to what many people call the opportunity gap, because if you look at the population of students on campus, you will see that there's a bigger difference between the top quartile and the bottom quartile as determined by socioeconomic status. We have closed the gap on racial representation on campus, but socioeconomically that gap is widened, and it's our challenge, and I think it's a moral obligation to address this. Higher ed cannot be so fixated upon rankings that they don't understand what the demographics of our country require. Tom, I've always been a big believer in the collective wisdom on campus. You listen to the community, but you listen to their ideas, lots of wonderful ideas. So these are things that you don't do in isolation.
Lawrence, we'll take a short break. We'll come back to continue this wonderful conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and I welcome you back to our wonderful conversation with Dr. Lawrence Huvenek, president of Texas Tech University. Looking at KTTZ, the TV station, Channel 5. Recently, we had that, well, gut-wrenching, shall we say, series on the Vietnam War.
You're correct. That was a gut-wrenching series. You find yourself asking, how do things like this happen? It's wonderful that we go back and look at that. That was, of course, a public event, but Texas Tech contributes that through the archives. The Vietnam Archives are now part of the Institute for Peace and Conflict. Professor Ron Milam is the director of that. He's a Vietnam veteran, history professor. And between him and Steve, they do a fabulous job with those resources. People come to access the Vietnam Archives from around the world.
How do you see initiatives like this particular archive as part of the life of the university?
It just adds another dimension through which the university contributes not only to the culture and the educational experience of this community, but that impact is worldwide. And there are lots of opportunities. There are many events sponsored on campus that relate to the Vietnam experience and our support of the military in general, where we revisit those issues. And I'm proud that Texas Tech does things like that.
As we reflect on the work of the new Institute for Peace and Conflict, and on the work of the archive, it brings together the best of the university. First of all, their scholarship, because as research, we're gathering valuable materials for people to study to gain insight. It seems to me that it serves the local community, the larger community, and the world community.
And Texas Tech is increasingly being recognized as a source for many valuable archival materials. Beyond the Vietnam, we have the Salah Collection. A few months ago, there was a gentleman in my office. He lived in Boston, and he told me where he lived, mile 19 of the Boston Marathon. I know where that is. That's halfway up Heartbreak Hill, and I was suffering greatly when I went probably past his neighborhood. Was moving to a smaller home, and he had a collection of books on natural history. He said, I asked somebody in the city, where is the best collection of natural history in the United States? And someone said, Texas Tech, the Sal Collection. He said he had like first edition printings of people like Rachel Carson, Barry Lopez, and Barry was actually in my office that very day because he comes here every so often to visit our students. Here's somebody in Boston who donated his archival materials to the Southwest Collection because he heard of it in the Northeast. And we're in the process of trying to acquire another archival collection. It would probably be premature to say exactly who's involved. It's a husband and wife, songwriters, authors, visual artists. There's a lot of synergy between these various collections. And the new barn will be a refurbished facility where a lot of activities can be held in which we can explore the creative process. We'll bring in scholars, performers, with certain themes. We've raised a considerable amount of money towards the remodeling of the barn. It will be a place where students, faculty, and the community can come together using these resources.
The barn is a hallowed space. Our wonderful producer, Chuck Luck, grandfather, had cows and milked on that in that wonderful place. And we had many, many of our guests over the years earning their way through Tech milking cows in the barn.
There's a lot of leadership coming from people like Jane Piercy in the College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources. Many people who have contributed to this do so through their ag connections. There will be an area in that barn that will be dedicated to that tradition. Where the milking stalls are there on the south end, it will be more than just about Kasner. One time he gave me a book that was written about the connections of music and mathematics. It was a little bit deep on a mathematical end, so I didn't get through all of it.
I also love what they do there at the Southwest Collection, too, the initiative looking at women's history. It's a vital, vibrant part of it.
Agreed. The women's study program has been around for several years. There have been some changes in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and now we call it inclusion, not community engagement. It really is amazing all the different segments of the student population in a community that those offices reach.
It reflects the richness of the student body and other communities in which we live. And again, to go back to my image of the mosaic, when the many colors and the many blends come together, we become all the more stronger and all the more vibrant and all the more inclusive, shall we say.
To that point, I was called a couple of weeks ago by a gentleman with the Texas Tribune who wanted to discuss a couple of memos that had been released. And he was asking, how are these things received? Of course, people have differing views. I think there's a misconception out there that West Texas is of one mind. The common thread through all of West Texas is the kindness and the goodness of the people. They are open. They are very inclusive. This is a very welcoming community for what we have on this campus. I was reading an essay by Molly Ivins. Of course, she passed away several years ago. She's hilarious. But it reminds me of an essay she once wrote, and I always kept copies of it in my desk when I was chair of mathematics because I would give it to potential job applicants. And it was on Lubbock, Seat of Rebellion. She begins by saying, Lubbock, like Popeye the Sailor, is what it is. But she goes on to speak to its attributes. But in the end, she says, I don't like land I feel I could fall off of. And certainly that's not the case in Lubbock, but I've also determined that the correct proportion of sky to earth is something like 88 to 1 or 90 to 1. And she said, that's what you have in Lubbock. And when you get used to that, everything else feels like jail.
Thank you. Lawrence, we'll take a short break and we'll come back to continue this fascinating conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters. on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon. In delightful conversation with Dr. Lawrence Skubanek, president of Texas Tech University. We were talking about the wonderful ambience in which we live here in West Texas with the beauty of sun and sky and land and its own particular beautiful form of expansiveness and of inclusiveness. That's where the story of our universities and of the extension of the university into the Health Sciences Center, this is what frames us.
It's true, and we still refer to President Paul Whitfield Horne's first comments to the faculty when he said, "This land does not lend itself to petty thoughts and behavior. Let our thoughts be big thoughts and broad thoughts. Let our thinking be in worldwide terms." That was in 1923. Next fall, we'll be launching our campus in San Jose, Costa Rica. Could he have ever foreseen that?
Could you have seen the birth of the medical school and the health sciences birthed by the mother campus?
President Mitchell is such a wonderful spokesman for the mission of that medical school, where he talks about how we provide the food and the fiber of this state. They are one of the largest producers of primary care physicians in the state. We serve an area that desperately needed that resource, just as it needed Texas Tech.
One of my hopes when I was retiring to become part-time again was that I would attend the many opportunities in the sciences, in the arts, in music, across the board. Every night there is something at Texas Tech, be it music, play, a discussion of the origins and the direction of science, the humanities, ongoing conversation with an open door to the community. I want to compliment you.
I spoke to the League of Women Voters a couple of nights ago, and I mentioned our three new strategic priorities. I mentioned the one earlier about educating a diverse student body, but also the other two relate to research and to engagement. The themes of those priorities are make sure we're doing things that have impact, that our activities engage the community in mutual collaborations, and that's what we need to do, and I think Texas Tech does a pretty good job of that.
The areas of the music and the drama is just fantastic. It's world class, really.
It is world class. Last summer, the University Symphony and Choir performed at the Lincoln Center in New York City, Manhattan. To walk up to that facility and see a poster that says, "Performing tonight, Brahms Requiem," awesome. I made this comment before. The reception by the audience, nearly a capacity crowd, a standing ovation. It was like a goosebump moment, almost equal, I said, to that time when Michael Crabtree caught that pass against Texas.
Of course. Equally grand in their own context.
That's right. But you couldn't have been more proud of those students and the faculty. It was a fabulous experience. Yeah. I was asked the other day by somebody, what do you say to people in West Texas about coming to Tech? We had a meeting earlier this week to plan this year's West Texas tour. So we're going to be going to places like Slayton, Abernathy, Tulia. Every year we go to the local communities, and somebody was asking, what do you say to those students? I say, understand that you don't have to go hundreds of miles away to have a world-class experience. And you may think you know Lubbock, but you really don't know that university.
We provide a wonderful overall education, but our honors college here is a unique, special place. I had a marvelous dialogue some weeks ago, facilitated by the dean.
Dean San Francisco.
On diverse views of religion and spirituality and how they are part of the dialogue in an open community. But it was just delightful with them. And I think the openness and the quality of the conversation was absolutely exceptional.
That is a real jewel for Texas Tech. During the fall on Sundays, we go to different communities as part of what's called the Top Scholar event. So typically, Michael will always speak. He does a wonderful job of conveying sort of the culture of the Honors College. And what you basically get there is the experience of a small liberal arts college within the larger state university. Mm-hmm. Those faculty there are wonderful. His associate dean, Elisa Wong, does a wonderful job.
Chuck and I interviewed a man that the Center for Ethics brought in some weeks ago, Derek Fetzer from Johnson & Johnson. And what he's doing is bringing to NGOs and to initiatives on behalf of humankind across the globe advice and expertise through technology so they can advance the quality of their lives. I was so impressed with him and the initiative of the Ethics Center and bringing him to talk to the students.
Ralph Ferguson heads up the Ethics Center. That is kind of a unique response towards our prior reaccreditation, where you have to have a quality enhancement program. The new QEP is related to communicating in a global society. I was visiting with a couple of faculty members who are involved in that. I said, how's it going? I said, fabulously well. That would be an interesting topic, how they promote not just the various ways you do communicate through social media, through the written word and orally, especially in such a connected world.
Lawrence, as you look ahead to the year ahead in terms of challenges and opportunities, does anyone particular one come to mind?
I think that as we continue to get larger and larger, we have to be very concentrated on making sure that we provide the same student experience that the parents of these students had. That's what binds them to this school. It's going to be particularly challenging this year because we had a record freshman class of 5,900 students. So we've already started to invest in special student support activities to make sure we retain those students. We had a record retention this year, all-time record of 84%. We want to hit 90, and we need to keep working on that. Texas Tech was moved into this Carnegie's highest research activity category. We need to keep elevating our scholarship and our funding that matters, but also we need to do a better job of telling our story. Reputation matters. We've just kind of completed the new ranking season, and there are 10 major rankings we follow very carefully. We moved up in 6, we were flat in 2, and then dropped slightly in 2 others. Those are imperfect instruments for assessing what's going on at school, but people look at them nevertheless. Focus on the student experience, enhance our academic reputation and our scholarship, and make sure people know what an incredible school we have.
And thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Tom, for giving me this chance to visit with you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.